Blog Kingdom Talk Radio.
Kingdom greetings and welcome to Tamayo Deliverance Ministries TDM Sunday Fellowship. I pray you're having an awesome, awesome day in the Lord. I am excited about what I'm about to share. So what God gave me, and I'm telling you, it's going to be hot off the press as he has given me little information. So I'm going to get it just as you're getting it as well. And I don't know if you can hear me, so I'm going to open the lines. And if you can hear, just say, I can hear.
I can hear.
Perfect. So, oh, hey, I'm going to mute everybody else. All right. So finally, we get to talk about crabs. I am just, I'm amazed at what and how God does things. He mentioned this to me some weeks back, and I thought it was going to be for a Bible study, and he didn't say anything, didn't say yes, didn't say no, but would not allow me to do it during Bible study. And when I wanted to do it for one of our DMs, he said, nope, not yet. So I am just excited to hear the word that the Lord has for us on today. So, Father, I just thank you right now, Lord God, that, Father, our heart is receptive, our ears open to hear what you have to say. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, for your spirit rest, rule, and abiding in this place, in the studio, on this line. God, I thank you right now, Lord God, hallelujah, that you would give it to us with such clarity that even a little child will understand. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you in Jesus' name. You know, God promised us in his word when we became new creatures. He says, old things pass away. We become a brand new creature. We are now engrafted into his kingdom. And because he is our Father, our Heavenly Father, our Abba, just like a good parent takes care of his kids, his children. And God has given us so many promises. In other words, he's given us pledges. He's guaranteed through his word that his children will have inheritances. In other words, we're not going to wait until we get to heaven to inherit what he has for us. We can have our inheritance now while we are alive. So we are alive in Christ and dead to our former man. And the great thing about this, only time you inherit from earthly relatives is when one of those relatives die, and then normally you get what they have. Usually that's the norm. Very seldom do people give you the inheritance while they are alive. But because God has given us our inheritance while we are alive in him, he wants us to enjoy it now. He said that we will inherit lots of blessings as long as we are faithful and obedient to him who is our God. He says that the blessings will not only come to us, but he said the blessings will overtake us as well. So that means we're getting so many blessings from him, from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Blessings are all around us. And because God is so vast, he is in different places at the same time, and only one person I know that can do that is him, that it doesn't matter where you live, whether you're in the city, whether you're in the valley, whether you are in the country, you will receive the blessing. The blessing is going to find you. You know, you can't stop God from blessing you when he wants to bless you. And we know that God gives us mercy and grace. Everything that you touch shall be blessed. Why? Because we are a part of him. We are in his kingdom, and he only wants the best for us. That's why he says that, look, I want you to prosper. I want you to prosper in every area of your life. If I put you on a job, I want you to prosper there. And prosperity doesn't always mean money. There are other areas that you can prosper in. It could be getting knowledge that you need in order to run your business. It could be the experience that you will need for the calling and the gift that's on your life. And I should say callings and giftings that's on your life. And so the enemy doesn't want you to be getting any of the benefits, so to speak. He always, you know, we know in John 10 and 10, it says the enemy comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. You know, that is his job. We also know that the Bible says that when we hear the word of God, that you're either being given the seed or the seed is being watered, but the only person that can do the increase is God. So people can try to stop your blessing, but they can't, because the blessing is going to come. But we know we're in this world, and we're not of this world, and we're always in a cycle somewhere. We're either going to give birth to something, or we're going to die to something. And I'm not talking about a natural death, but a spiritual death. We're either going to be in that season where things are flourishing, or we're in that season where it seems like there is a drought. We may be in that season where we're rejoicing, or we may be in the season where we're crying. But the thing is, we all have to go through different cycles, different seasons in our life. And as you're going through the seasons, and this is how God has given this to me, I want you to picture you are in this bucket, because in order to be that good soldier that God talks about in Timothy, we've got to grow up. We've got to gird our loins. We've got to be that good soldier where our flesh is dying daily, where our spirit man is increasing, and we know it's increased. The spirit man is increased, not it, but it's a he. He's increased the more we stay in the word of God, the more we seek after him, the more we pray, the more we worship, because then we know more about him and we see some things about ourselves. We learn that as we're reading the scripture, we're understanding the scripture, and he's teaching us things, that we're growing, and we grow daily. You may be mature in one area of your life, then you're an infant in another area, and that's just how God has created us. I say all that to say, when he gave me this analogy and he said crabs in a bucket, I'm going to tell you what each one of those letters represent, but picture yourself, God is, he just blessed you. He gave you this vision. And the vision is coming to fruition. And in order to make sure the vision comes to fruition, you've got to get out of comfort zone. So that comfort zone right now is your bucket where you are in with a whole lot of other people. And who may these people be? Well, you've got the C. The C is for the church folks. See, the church folks are those people who have an outward appearance of godliness. We call them like they're churchy. You know, they know the right things to say. They know the right words in order to get the crowd stirred, to get you emotional. When I say emotional, I'm just talking about, you know, you get so excited sometimes, and we don't use the spirit of discernment to ask God, who should we share this with? Because in reality, as Christians, we are each other's brother and sister in Christ. We say that all the time. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, when God is blessing your brother or your sister, you rejoice. When they're in that drought, we should be mourning them, and we should also be undergirding them, lifting them up, because what? The cycle doesn't last forever. Seasons change. And when we truly emulate Christ, when we have the characteristics of Christ, then when someone is coming out of that bucket to move into their next phase, their next level, we don't try to hold them down. And so when you look at the players, and this is what God called the players in the bucket, you got to know who is among you. The scripture says, know those who labor among you. Not everybody is excited for you. And being that they're church folks, it doesn't make them bad people. It just means that they're immature. They're immature to the word of God. They don't understand that each and every one of us, we're many members, but there's just one body, and that is the body of Christ. That is, we're all heading toward that same goal, which is directing people toward the kingdom of God. So every gift that we have, every talent that we have is for someone else. Individually, we can't reach every lost soul, but collectively we can. And until a church person can understand, there is no competition in the kingdom of God. We all have the same goal. We all have the same Father who's given us directions. That when I see my brother or sister trying to get out of the bucket, I am not going to be the one to take my claw and hook onto their fin to pull them back down. So then we have the other thing I want to say about the church, folks, and I do want to say this to just give you the scripture, and that is 2 Timothy 3 and 5 that says they have a form of godliness, but there is no substance. You know, they don't have it. They're not there yet. But it doesn't mean, again, that they're bad people. What I'm saying about each one of these letters does not mean the individual is an awful person. It just means this is where they are right now. The R stands for a person that's reckless. This is who's in that bucket with you. They're reckless. Reckless just means that they do things without thinking. You know, they're crowd pleasers. So you're in there and you just shared your vision. Think about Joseph, when he shared his vision to his brothers. It seemed to Joseph, maybe, you know, they're with me, you know, they're excited with me, they're going to go on this journey with me, but we find out that, no, they were not excited about your dream. Sorry to tell you that. There's a little jealousy there. You know, you never know people you know, they may say one thing with their mouth, but God knows the heart. And that's why we've got to be discerning. I'm going to say discerning probably throughout this whole thing, because that's one thing that it seems like the body of Christ lacks, the spirit of discernment. But God says that we can ask for just about anything, and, you know, he'll give it to us if it's his desire. And he thinks that we should have it, and we can handle it. So they're just the crowd pleasers, you know. And then we also have Saul as an example. And I know it's in, I think, 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, where he was told, he was given an instruction from God to kill, to utterly destroy this place. And that includes the king and all of the livestock, like just destroy it. But Saul decided he wasn't going to do it. So he didn't follow God's directions. He did it the way he wanted to do it, or he thought that was right, because he wanted to please the people. Well, you know what? I'm going to save the king, because he is a king, you know, and I'm just going to keep the best cattle, and I'm just going to keep the best of everything. But we know that what we think is the best is not to God. You know, so it's important that we follow his, God's instruction. And so the other R is ruthless people. And ruthless just means that they just don't have any compassion. They don't have no pity. They don't have no compassion whatsoever. You know, Proverbs 11 and 16 talks about, and I'm just giving the scriptures. You can go back and read them for yourself, but how they're just ruthless people. You know, they're just wicked in the heart. So when you're sharing what God is doing in your life, when you think that these people in that bucket with you are there to encourage you, to build you up, because you know when you have an assignment from God, it is not easy to, it is easy, but then it's not, because we are flesh. It's easy to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to do it. But our flesh, that human part of us, want to say, I just want your encouragement. I'm going to do it, but I feel the attacks. I feel them coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west. I feel the distractions that's there. I feel a little tormented in my spirit, and I might just need you to pray with me. But again, they don't want to get out. Some of them. Well, you want to, like, who don't want to get out? Well, I'm about to tell you. It's the A, the one that are addicted. They're addicted to staying in the same place. They are just, I don't know what's on the outside, but I know what's here. How many have had people like that? Am I the only one? I remember when our school was going through, oh my gosh, we were just changing administration like crazy. And I said, you know what, we need to just come together and pray that God will give us the right person, the person that will see the vision that he has for this school. And it turned out the person was like, well, I don't know. I know what we have, and it's not good, but I don't know what we're going to get. Well, if we pray, we can pray for what we want, which would be God's will, that his will be done. So addictive people are just, they're just happy to settle. They don't want to rock the boat. So when you're saying God has shown me this and I know this is my time and this is my season and I need to leave, they're going to cheer you on and say, yeah, just go for it. And then they're sitting back like, I don't know. I don't think he or she should go. And as you're trying to climb out, they've got their claw holding on to your fiddle and pulling you back in. And then the last one is, and then we're going to talk about how it all puts molds together. We have the ones that are from sediments. They're sediments. They're just at the bottom. They're going to stay there. They're going to weigh everything down. They're not concerned one way or the other. You can ask them, and they'll never give you a direct answer. They'll either come back with a question, or they'll repeat what you just said. So what does God want you to do? Because now you know the players that are in the bucket with you. And you know what God has said for you. He's already told you that no matter where you go, I'm there with you. No matter what it looks like, even when it seems like you're going to be burnt to a crisp, he's not going to let it happen. Why? Because God knows the plans and the purpose of your life. He knows that He's going to release you at this time. He knows that he's going to anoint you at this time. He knows that these are the people that are going to come across your path. So what do you have to do? Oh, you know what? Let me go back. God just reminded me I did not tell you about the sediment people. They are just wishing upon a star. They're the wishers. You know, they sit there and they wish, I wish I could do this. I wish I can do that. And they're just wishing. They really don't want to do it, but it sounds good in their mind. And they're also what we call blessing blockers. They're going to block your blessing at any cost. They'll never give you encouragement. They're only there to stop you from progressing. So you have to know without a shadow of a doubt that God has called you. You have to know that this is your season, that this is your time. You have to know that if God be for you, it doesn't matter who is against you. When we look at Nehemiah had instructions. And his instructions were to rebuild. That was his instruction, to rebuild. But at the very beginning, he had someone, because remember, he's in that bucket with the crabs, the other crabs. He had someone to come to him in the very beginning as he is so focused on doing what God has told him to do. He heard the voice of God. There is no doubt, like, this is the time that's needed to do this. But then you have this person to come and say, yeah, yeah, I know that's what you say, but are you sure? Do you think? You know, putting that doubt in your mind, because all it takes is a little doubt. I remember God spoke something to me, and I shared it with a couple of people whom, and one I didn't feel like I should have, but I was comfortable, and I did. And the individual, we walked, and we walked this property that God had told me about. And we walked the property, and I was sharing what the Lord had said that needed to happen. And everything was fine, and I was getting ready to go and sign some papers. And this is what the individual said to me. How are you going to pay for this? I had not thought about it. And I'll tell you why. When God tells you to do a thing, he has already made the provisions available. The Bible says faith without works is dead. So if you've got enough faith to believe, if God said to do it, he's already made the provision. We just have to activate our faith. And when the individual said that, I said, I don't know, but I know God does. However, the seed was already planted in me. When I got back to my car, I sat in there for a good 5 minutes, and I said, God, that is a good question. How is this going to happen? I don't want to be obligated for this amount of money, knowing that, one, I may not be able to make this amount every month, and two, I don't want it to be a reproach to your name. And God didn't say anything to me as I sat in the car. All he didn't say anything. And so the individual who I was about to sign this contract contacted me and said, I'm ready. I can meet you at such and such a place before your flight leaves. And I bailed. I said, well, you know, let me get back. Let me talk this over with a few people and get back with you. Well, I'm here to tell you this has been a couple of years now. The property is still vacant. That property belongs to me. And now I've encountered some oppositions because of my delay and my hesitation in allowing distractions that someone said to me to plant that seed of doubt. When God has given you a work to do, you got to make sure that you stay clear, you stay focused. You have to put blinders on your eyes so that all you're seeing is Psalm 121 and 1 says, I will look toward the hills. From what cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. See, no one else can do this vision that God has given to me. You can't do it, just like I can't do the vision that God has given you. But we've got to be so blinded to the outside distractions that we can remain focused. We can remain steadfast and unmovable on his promise, on his word. Secondly, when it comes to the other crabs that's in that bucket with you, you've got to fight. The Bible says that the kingdom suffered violence, and the violence took it by force. There's some things we've got to take by force. Even though the Bible says that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, sometimes we've got to war in the spirit to take some things back. When it comes to when I said war in the spirit, God just dropped this in my spirit. When you look at your life, there's always a pattern going on in your life. And when you see a certain pattern that it's a cycle that's being repeated, that's not a godly cycle, it's not taking you anywhere, you have to start asking God, how do I fight this? And the only way to fight it is in the spirit. Remember, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against those invisible things. So in the spirit realm is where we fight. So when we have to take things back, that means, one, we either allow the enemy to take it from us, so somehow it thought it had some rights, And it could be that we were so immature in the word of God that we didn't know that we can fight and prevent it from taking anything from us. See, when you're in that bucket, you got to get out by any means necessary. The people that are complacent, the ones that are addicted, the ones that are sedentary, they already know the outcome. They've already decided, hey, they going to cook us. We going to die. That's our outcome. Think about the Israelites. Even when they were coming out, before they even got out of Egypt, they're like, okay, we good. They're treating us bad, but we good. And when they got out, they were still looking back at, well, I don't know what's ahead of me, but I do know that at least they'll be putting hard labor on us if we stay in Egypt. Coming out of that, you don't know. You only see the end. You only know what God said. This is what you're going to do. You don't know once you get out all the other things that's going to happen. I want you to picture this because I'm a visual person. Imagine getting out of the bucket. Now, you're outside of the bucket. Where are you going? Because whoever's about to cook the crabs, they see you've escaped. Most likely they're going to get a spoon or something to try to scoop you up and put you back in that bucket. But at that point, you're running for your life. You're moving really fast. You're listening. You're in tune to God to hear, what do I do? Because he's going to protect you. So when it comes to getting out, you already know the players inside that basket. You're getting out. Keep your eyes on God. Keep your focus on God. If you have to write on an index card, on a sticky note, on a piece of paper, and just put it somewhere around your home, your room, to remind you of that vision when things get hard, do it. Because God already promised that it's going to come to pass. He said, even though the vision may tarry, we know it's going to come to pass. And sometimes it's not always the enemy. Sometimes it's we. It's the inner man, that conscience that tells us you can't do it, but the Bible says you can do all things to Christ that strengthens you. You're the head and not the tail. You've been engrafted into the priesthood of God. You got blessings coming and going. Going so fast it's running down and overtaking you. He's given you wisdom. He says, if anybody lacks them, just ask of me. He's given you knowledge. The more you worship him, the more you stay in prayer, the more that you know of him. He says, I'm faithful. Even when we may not be faithful, God's still faithful. He says he's going to give you water. And when I think of water, I think of nourishment that you may need. You know, you got to have water in order to live. So God reigns on us. He reigns and gives us exactly what we need. He said that we can abide under the shadow, under his wings. That, you know, when you get tired, you get weary. Oh, glory to God. His wings hides us so that he can tend to us. He can patch us up. He can love on us. He can tell you, baby, you can do it. It's going to be all right. You can do this. Yes, I know they hurt you. Yes, I know it was hard. But guess what? You were made for this. And once God has love on you and give you a little bit more encouragement, he puts you right back up there so that you can finish the work that you started. We all want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. But you don't have to hear that when you get in heaven. He can tell you that on earth. I can tell you many assignments that he has given me. And at the very outcome, he'll either say it to me personally or he will tell someone who does not even know me that God is real pleased with you. He's pleased by the assignment. And then you know what? When it's over, you get another assignment. So you're going right back in that pot with some other crabs. But the characteristic is still going to be the same. You're still going to have the church folks. You're still going to have those that are ruthless and reckless. You're going to have those that are addictive to just doing things the way they want to do it. You know, it's like, oh, well, we're not going to get out. We always going to be here. It's just the nature of the beast. And I think I left out the bees. I'm going back. The bees are the backstabbers. The ones that say, yes, I got you, and then turn around and don't have you. They forget all about you. Or they say, well, yes, you're going to make it. God is with you. Well, I don't know who he or she thinks she is, who he thinks he is. They're going to be here just like us. Remember, when we got saved, we've been on fire for the Lord. Then after 2 years, we already cooled down. They're going to be the same way. The backstabbers, the blessing blockers, you know. The ones that are just, you know, they'll take away from you. They'll take. Well, tell me your idea. Well, how did you do this? And what you got to do? Where you got those resources? I call them the greedy blessing blockers. They want to know so much, and they know they're not going to do anything. They love being in the bucket. But they take your energy. They take your focus. And now, instead of getting it done in 7 days or whatever length of time God said it would take, you like the Israelites going around that mountain for 40 years and then never seeing the promise. So God is just wanting us to be focused. Be about his business. And it's okay to share. But if you're going to share what God is telling you, you better be like Nehemiah, working with one hand and got a weapon in the other. And let that weapon be the word of God that's on your tongue, that's in your heart. I'm going to open the line if anyone has any comments. That's all I have to share with you. Yep, that's all that he has given me. And just double-checking my notes and jot it down. That's all he's given me. Glory to God. Comments, questions, concerns, prayers, anything. All righty. Well, I thank God for you, and especially you joining us. Father, I just thank you for your people. Lord, I just bless your marvelous name. God, I thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, God, how you don't leave your people ignorant, oh God. But Father, you know what they stand in need of. And God, I thank you that you give us exactly what we need. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord God, that you are our blessed hope in hopeless situations. Father, I thank you for being faithful when we are not always faithful. God, I thank you for being our strong tower, oh, God, that the righteous can run to. Oh, God, I thank you, Lord, that you are our present help in the time of trouble. Oh, God, we just thank you, hallelujah, for being all over because you are omnipresent. You are omnipotent. Oh, God, you are a way maker. Oh, God, I just thank you, Lord God, that as this week starts, oh God, your people not only will feel your presence, oh God, but Father, that they will have a desire to dig deeper into your word, that they will look more towards you, oh God, for understanding, oh God, for wisdom, oh God, for revelation. Oh, Father God, we just thank you, Lord God, that you've given us, oh God, another level, oh God, of knowledge of you. Hallelujah, God, that even though, Lord God, that you've given us a word, oh God, that you've given us an assignment, oh God, that we know that among us, oh God, will be crabs. So, God, we just thank you. We praise you. We forever glorify your name because you are God. And there is no other. You are the creator of all. And Father, we just thank you. God bless each and every one of you. And until the next time, shalom.